Lesson number 10. Lesson 10 will deal with what is the gift of salvation itself, how it is expressed in our life, and it is entitled, therefore, The Grace of Salvation. Many Christians believe today that justification comes solely from faith in Jesus Christ. Over a public medium, you often hear, in order to be saved, all you have to do is to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior and believe in your heart that your sins are forgiven and you are saved. From this principle flows an old refrain, once saved, always saved. It is the foundation for such preaching as the saved do not sin, or the other extreme, if you have faith in Jesus, you need not worry about sinning, for Jesus has already atoned for those sins, and they are not imputed to you. The above religious principle rests upon a few isolated scriptures and a very narrow interpretation of them. The foundation of true religious principles must rest upon the fullness of divine revelation. For this reason, the Catholic Church rejects the above principle and its deductions as being contrary to the fullness of Christian revelation. The Church teaches through baptism, a person enters into a state of justification before God, and that faith and repentance are demanded for a worthy reception of baptism by an adult. We may ask, what is this human state that justifies a sinner before God? Is it just a psychological state of belief in which sin is no longer imputed to a sinner, as many teach? No, it is much more. The state of justification consists in the removal of all sin from the soul and a divine spiritual transformation of the soul resulting from the presence of the Holy Spirit entering and abiding in the baptized soul. Sin is not merely covered over and not imputed to us. The sacrament of baptism removes original sin and all personal sins. The Holy Scriptures present the forgiveness of sin as a real and a complete remission of sins. It speaks of God wiping away our sins. We read in Jeremiah, "It is I who wipe out for my own sake your offenses. Your sins I remember no more." Peter preached in Acts, "Therefore reform your lives, turn to God, that your sins may be wiped away." The psalmist prays that sin will be washed away. "Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness, in the greatness of your compassion. Wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and my sins cleanse me." Psalm 51, verse 3 through 4. We read in Ezekiel, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you to cleanse you from all your impurities." Ananias said to Saul, "Why delay then? Be baptized at once. Wash away your sins as you call on his name." Paul tells the Corinthians, "You have been washed, consecrated, justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. St. John writes, "The blood of his Son, Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. If we acknowledge our sins, he who is just can be trusted to forgive our sins and cleanse us from every wrong." 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. Sin is not only removed in baptism, but the person's very being becomes pure and holy in the sight of God. This is caused by the divine created gift infused in the soul of the baptized. The Church calls this divine gift sanctifying grace. This grace renders a person a new creation in Christ, a new person. It changes the person so as to make kinship and communion with God possible. A new and precious life is infused into the soul so that a human being truly becomes a new creation in Jesus Christ. The scriptures confirm that the soul of man is regenerated, recreated, renewed, justified, made holy, made godly by the grace of God. In Ezekiel, God made this promise, I will give you a new heart and place a new spirit within you. Take from your bodies your stony heart. I will put my spirit within you and make you live by my statutes, careful to observe my decrees. Jesus tells Nicodemus that a man must be reborn through water and the Holy Spirit. Paul tells Titus, he saved us through the baptism of new birth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Paul encouraged the Ephesians, acquire a fresh spiritual way of thinking. You must put on that new man created in God's image, whose justice and holiness are born of truth. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 through 24. Paul confirms that the Corinthians have become a new creation in Christ. This means that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old order has passed away, now all is new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul tells the Galatians that all that matters is that one is created anew. Paul teaches the Romans that Christians have become sons of God. They have received a spirit of adoption. They have become children of God and heirs of God. When St. John teaches that Jesus is the vine and his disciples are the branches, John implies the very life of Jesus flows through the disciples. Live on in me as I do in you. No more than a branch can bear fruit of itself apart from the vine, can you bear fruit apart from me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who lives in me and I in him will produce abundantly, for apart from me you can do nothing. Again, John confirms the holiness of the Christian soul when he writes these words of Jesus. Anyone who loves me will be true to my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our dwelling place with him. St. Peter testifies, we have the power to live holy lives, even to share in the divine nature. We read that divine power of his has freely bestowed on us everything necessary for a life of genuine piety. Through knowledge of him who called us by his glory and power, by virtue of them, he has bestowed on us the great and precious things he promised, so that through these you have fled a world corrupted by lust, might become sharers of the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. When the church teaches that justification is caused by the presence of sanctifying grace, it teaches that our personal holiness is distinct from the Holy Spirit. In other words, sanctifying grace is not the presence of the Holy Spirit in the soul of the just. It is indeed an effect of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the soul of the baptized. For as St. John Chrysostom asks, for all the gifts which contain within them our soul salvation, which of them has not been given us by the mystery of the Spirit, by the ministry of the Spirit? The Church tells us that sanctifying grace is both a divine quality and a created gift within the soul. This quality inheres in the very spirit of a person. Given the soul a kinship and likeness to God himself, It makes possible friendship between the creature and its creator. To say sanctifying grace to be both creative and divine is to propose a difficult concept to the human mind. To be created and divine seems mutually exclusive. Perhaps sanctifying grace can best be understood as a divine effect of the Holy Spirit's presence within the created soul. As St. John Chrysostom suggested, there can be no sanctifying grace without the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yet the grace is distinct from the presence of the Holy Spirit. There would be no sunlight without the sun, yet the light can be said to be distinct from the sun. The presence of the sun fills the whole world with its light. It illumines, transforms all things. Its presence can so affect the substance as to radically change the substance. And yet, we do not say that light is the sun, or that the effects caused by the sun are the sun itself. And so it seems to be that the soul seems to be true of the soul and the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit enters the soul, and the soul does not willfully resist or place barriers before the presence of the Holy Spirit, His presence, like that of the sun, causes amazing results within the creative spirit of a person. The divine rays of the Holy Spirit touch the spirit of man, producing divine results in the creative substance of his or her spirit. We know that if the presence of God filled a room, as it did in the Temple of Solomon, nothing within the room would remain unaffected. It would assume a godly beauty, yet the room would remain distinct from God. When God came down upon Mount Sinai, the presence of God transformed the mountain. The mountain assumed a terrible beauty, yet the mountain remained a mountain. Writing of the Holy Spirit, St. Basil the Great tells us, shining upon those who have been purified of every stain, He makes them spiritual in heart through union with Himself. For just as when the sunlight falls on clear, transparent bodies, they too become resplendent and begin to shine from another light within themselves, so the soul that contains the Spirit within them becomes themselves spiritual, and their brightness shines forth on others. Writing of the effects of the Holy Spirit, St. John Chrysostom tells us, through Him we obtain forgiveness of sin, through Him are we made clean of every stain, through the gift of Him we have been changed from men into angels. Those among us who cooperate with His grace, not actually changing our nature, but what is more wonderful, while remaining in the nature of men, we show forth a manner of life that is worthy of angels. The soul that a little while ago was stained with the mire of sin is all at once splendid, more splendid than the sun. Such then is the power of the Spirit, writes St. John Chrysostom. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that at the moment of baptism, all the merits of the life and death of Jesus are applied to the baptized, just as if the soul had personally merited them. The soul becomes a divine seedbed. The graces of baptism implant the potential to believe in God, hope in His promises, and to love Him above all. Of course, the actualizing of these gifts depend upon the baptized freely cooperating and exercising these gifts. This life of grace, as with all life, begins with great potentiality to be much more than it presently may be. The power to believe, to hope, to love are there. But the person must freely determine to use and exercise these powers. Power grows through exercise. Power can lie dormant, and even in time, through non-use, atrophy. We freely and purposefully put on Jesus Christ by the constant exercise of the graces of baptism. St. Paul reminds us in his words to his son Timothy, God has saved us and has called us to a holy life, not because of any merits of ours, but according to his own design. This ends lesson 10.